I want to welcome you again this morning as we are starting off a new sermon series entitled, Can I Get a Witness? Now, can I get a witness is kind of a churchy phrase, but it's a phrase that people use when they want somebody to affirm the timeless truths of Scripture based on their own personal experience. And so in this series, we are going to be looking at some of the stories from the book of Acts in the Bible, stories that help us see how the power of Jesus impacted the early Christians and the early church. And we're also going to be exploring some of our own stories about how we have experienced that same kind of power in our lives. It will be our witness. We talked about God's stories a couple weeks ago. So some of the weeks we will be hearing people's God stories that affirm that same kind of power. How Jesus comes into our lives just as he came into the lives of those earliest Christians, bringing about a sense of community and a spirit of boldness and the miraculous healing that people experience both then and now. And stories about how people in the early church and people now have come to understand the expansive nature of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Today, we are going to be looking at the power of community. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So, by a show of hands, how many of you are on Facebook? So maybe, hands got to go up higher because I'm trying to figure out. All right, so maybe half of the congregation is on Facebook. For those of you who are on Facebook, how many of you know that the church has a Facebook page? How many of you have liked the church's Facebook page? All right, well, if you haven't liked it yet, I want to invite you to go ahead and do that because we do use that page to communicate a lot of the things that are going on in the life of our church. But what are some of the reasons, for those of you who are on Facebook, what are some of the reasons that you use social media like Facebook? To spy on our kids when they're in college, absolutely. To see who you went to high school with and how they look now and all of that, exactly, okay? Okay, to share pictures of Emma with her dad's family, okay. All right, to stay connected with distant family and to reconnect with Old Navy buddies. Okay. I think that's probably the closest to the reasons why I joined Facebook whenever I did. We were actually living in California at the time, and getting to be involved with Facebook allowed me to stay connected with family that was on the other side of the country, and we could keep up with one another's lives that way. And it had an added benefit of allowing me to reconnect with some of the people I had gone to high school with or elementary school. So it was a great tool for connecting. But I would say that while Facebook allows us to connect with people's faces and photographs, it does not do a great job of allowing us to connect more deeply with people's lives. And I'll use my own Facebook page from this past week to sort of illustrate that. This past week, whenever I put some things up on Facebook, one of the things I put on Facebook was a picture of Mike and a happy birthday wish to him. One of the things I put on Facebook was a couple pictures from the Easter egg hunt that we had here at the church this past week. I put an invitation to friends and neighbors to join us for Easter worship. And on Easter Sunday, I put up this picture that says, "You may not know it, but this is what your pastor and worship team will look like on Easter Sunday afternoon." Because what Facebook page is complete without a picture of cats, right? I mean, like, everybody has to have cats on Facebook. So by looking at my Facebook page, you would not know that on Monday of this past week, our youngest son, Joe, who is on spring break, had some pretty significant oral surgery, and I was spending several days this week very anxious about his recovery from that surgery. By looking at my page, you also would not know that we found out on Tuesday of this week that our next, the youngest son, Sam, was erroneously dropped from our medical insurance. When he turned 21, the insurance company was not aware that he was a full-time student in college, and they dropped him. So I've been spending days dealing with insurance bureaucracy and government bureaucracy, trying to get his insurance reinstated, and it still is not back in place. I've been a little anxious about that. I did not do anything to prepare for our income tax return until after Holy Week and Easter. So you would also not know from my Facebook page that I have been spending the past week gathering together all of the items so that we can file our taxes. And you would not know from looking at this page that this week we also were blessed by an answer to prayer. We've been praying for my father and the significant pain that he's been experiencing, particularly in his shoulder and in his hip. And he's tentatively slated for hip replacement surgery at the end of May. But they finally diagnosed an illness that he has, which he may carry for the rest of his life, but it responds very well to steroids. And they've got him on a steroid regimen, and he is feeling better than he has felt in months. Answer to prayer. But you would not get any of that from the picture of a cat on my Facebook page, right? Social media may help us connect with one another, but it does not replace community. In the lesson from the book of Acts that Melinda read to us this morning, we hear a description of what community was like in the early church. How the people in that church were so linked with one another that they shared everything they had in common with one another. If somebody was hungry, they shared their food. If somebody was hurting, they shared their support. They shared their prayers. They watched over one another. They looked out for one another. When Lydia lifted up her prayer request, I thought, yeah, that's what the early church looked like, right? In the early church, if you were driving a car and it broke down, okay, that's a little bit of a stretch given the time frame, but somebody from the faith community would be there to help you out. It was the power of Christ that drew those people together in such a way that they were not just loosely connected with one another, but they experienced genuine community where they loved one another, where they shared their joys together, where they shared their sorrows together, where they provided for one another, where they cared for one another. And we can witness that same kind of community in this day and in this age through the power of Christ in our lives. Now, I mentioned at the outset of the sermon that during this series, we will be hearing witnesses from different folks in our church family to the power of Christ in this day and in this age. 2 weeks ago, we heard a witness, a God story, that Ashley Hart shared with us. It was absolutely beautiful. And if you were not able to be here to hear it, I encourage you to go ahead and go to the church's website because the sermon is online, and you can hear her witness and her God story to the power of Christ in her life. This morning, I'm going to share one of my many God stories. one of my stories about the power of Christ to surround us with community when we most need it. And this particular story begins in the year 2010. In 2010, we were living in 29 Palms, California, when my husband, Mike, who was in the Marine Corps at the time, got orders to a position at Marine Corps Base Quantico. And I was not overly excited about leaving 29 Palms, California. They say about that, that if you're a Marine spouse, you cry when you go to 29 Palms. And that is true, because I cried whenever we were driving into 29 Palms. They also say you cry when you leave. And that was true as well. But we packed up and made our way across country. And I have been very blessed that each time Mike received orders to a new duty station, I would contact the district superintendent in that area. And every time Mike has gotten orders, I have been blessed to receive an assignment at a church in that area. And this time was no different. I called the district superintendent and said, I'm coming to Virginia. If you have any places where I could serve as a pastor, I'm available. And so I was appointed to Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Stafford. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the United Methodist Churches in our area, Ebenezer is huge. Some of you know that firsthand, right? It is one of the largest United Methodist churches in all of Virginia. There are only two United Methodist churches that have higher attendance than Ebenezer. And I was assigned there as a part-time associate pastor. And my responsibility, my role there, was to provide congregational care and help oversee the mission and service life of the church. And I really had mixed feelings about being at Ebenezer, because on the one hand, the senior pastor there at the time, Mark Miller, is just an incredibly gifted, brilliant leader. And I learned so much in the 4 years that I served there. And there's a great staff at that church, and I learned a lot from the staff members of that congregation. But the reality is, I had spent 18 years before that in pastoral ministry, and I had always been the lead pastor of the church. And so that shift from being the solo pastor, even though the churches I served were nowhere near the size of Ebenezer, that shift from being the one in charge to being one of many people on a staff, that was an interesting dynamic for me. But I figured that the reason God had sent me there was because I had a lot to learn, and it was a great learning environment. I thought that was the reason God had sent me there. But then, 2 years later, in September of 2012, Mike was diagnosed with stage 2 colorectal cancer. And with that diagnosis, we were plunged into a year-long whirlwind of radiation and chemo, and then surgery, and then more chemo, and then more surgery, and then infections, and then another surgery. And in that year, that church staff and that church congregation surrounded us with Christian community. They prayed for us, and they loved us, and they stuffed our refrigerator and our freezer full of food. And when I was at my wit's end, the women on that staff took me out to lunch and they prayed over me and prayed for me. And when I reached a point where I could no longer provide effective pastoral care for other people because I was too tapped out by what was going on in our lives, Mark and Chris, who were the two other pastors on staff, said, "Don't worry about it. We'll take over all of that for you. You just take care of your family." Now, here's the truth. If I had been a solo pastor in another church setting during that year, I would have had to take a leave of absence. I wouldn't have been able to function. But God placed us in a setting where we could be surrounded by the community and the love and the support that we needed through the power of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you something. Morrisville is a church that knows what community is all about, too. Right, Lydia? We heard about it in Lydia's story. I see it every Sunday when we share our joys and concerns with one another. I see it in the way that we provide food and transportation for those who are in need of it, the ways in which Lorraine sends cards to everybody, in the ways in which we love one another. I see it on the second Sunday of the month, whenever I wander downstairs and the men are working and serving together. I experience it when we are in classes together and we are truly getting to know one another, getting to share our stories with one another. And we're not just connecting on a Facebook level. We are building community together through the power of Christ. In the early church, it was the power of Christ that allowed those Christians to develop community together. And the same thing is true today. I give thanks to God for the power of Christ that makes us be a community that loves one another. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of your church and for the gift of Christian community that is formed through the power of Jesus Christ. Help us to honor that gift. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.